Good morning, church. Morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. This is the word of the Lord. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. May God bless the reading of his word.
All right, so we have Pastor Dan from the island giving us the word here in this section. This is a challenging text, but let's pray for him as he gives us the word here this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that was read to us by Oliver. We ask that you would bless Dan as he gives us the word here this morning. Would you open our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us specifically? Every person here is different and all of their needs unique, and you know each and every person and their and how they need to be ministered and what their needs are. Would you meet us this morning, speak to us in very specific ways through this passage and how we can be encouraged or challenged to be closer to you. And we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, Crucible Church. It is always an honor to share God's word with you. It was especially nice to be able to preach in person when I was there last time. But alas, I am back in Campbell River, so you get to have another video sermon from me. And one other thing, my family is in the other room, so you might be hearing some hooping and hollering as they play and fight. Hope that isn't too distracting. Let's move into our sermon for this morning. You've been going through a sermon series on the book of 1 Timothy, and as you've heard the passage already, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 16 today. This is one of Paul's last letters that he wrote, and this is to Timothy, a minister in the city of Ephesus, and Paul is the one who established Timothy there as the leader. We're not exactly sure what Timothy's ministry looked like, because the church was so different back then. He was more or less a pastor, but His role probably had him overseeing a number of different house churches in Ephesus. Regardless, he was the head of the church in Ephesus at the time. And Paul writes this letter to Timothy to give him some advice and encouragement in his ministry to the church in Ephesus. Last week, I believe Sam preached on the previous chapter where we had this famous verse. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. From this passage, it sounds like Timothy was a newbie, maybe in his early 20s. I used to always quote this verse in my church youth group. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, you're teenagers, it's okay. But actually, Timothy was probably in his early 40s when he got this letter from Paul, which sounds funny to us. Someone in their 40s isn't usually considered young. And when you are considered young, well, in Ephesus, this probably would have been an age that they were considered young. And when you are considered young, there are some challenges ministering to those older than you. At my church here in Campbell River, I feel a bit like that. I'm in my mid-40s, and most of the church is in their 60s and 70s. So I'm the same age as their kids. So there can be sometimes a little bit of looking down on me because I'm young. I don't quite have the authority to tell people in the church what to do because of my age. So I appreciate Paul's words to Timothy in our passage this morning. Let's go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. When ministering to those older than you, speak to them as you would your father and mother. Treat them with respect and humility. But notice Paul does use the word exhort here. We're not to rebuke those that are older than us, but we are still supposed to say something. We're supposed to exhort them. If they're doing something that's inappropriate or out of line, Timothy does have a responsibility to say something. He shouldn't let it slide. But if he were talking to someone younger, like his brother or sister, his tone would be more of a rebuke. But here with the older people, his tone is to exhort, to encourage, to gently challenge. This first verse is some really good instruction, but it's actually not really the meat of the passage. The rest of this passage deals with how we treat widows in the church. Essentially, what Paul teaches Timothy about here is how to distinguish widows who are in need with widows who are not in need, and how to respond to them. Paul is going to bounce back and forth between these two groups, but I'm actually going to rearrange the verses so that we have two clear categories, widows who are in need and widows who are not in need. So first, let's take a look at the widows who are in need. Paul writes, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. Now, society in Ephesus was very different than our society, so we need to have some background on what the state of widows was like back then in Timothy's church. In Ephesus, women in general kept the affairs of the household in order. Their status was dependent on how well their husbands did and how well they, as wives, ran the home. Men worked outside the home, and women who wanted to gain more social status would have to encourage their husbands to be more successful, to provide more kids, and to build a bigger household. Unfortunately, this left women very dependent on their husbands, and if their husband died, she would lose all of her security and all of her income. Now, you might happen to have wealth, and you might have managed it well, and in that case, the life of a widow is not that bad. But in most cases, it's a terrible situation for a woman to be thrown into at that time. Now, the first marker of a widow who is in need is they are all alone. They don't have kids that are old enough to care for them. They don't have enough wealth to survive. And the second marker of a widow in need is they recognize their situation and they turn to God for help, like we see in verse 5. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. In the church, you know a widow is truly in need when she pours out her heart to God day and night. She is fully dependent on God for her security and her provision. These are the people to look out for, Timothy. Well, Paul gets even more specific with his requirements in verses 9 and 10. no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. Now, we're not exactly sure what Paul meant by the list of widows. Some commentators think that he's talking about a special ministry that's run by widows, so putting them into this special ministry where they're supposed to go out and do good deeds. But I think that this list of widows is a group that the church should be supporting. And it's not supporting them so they go and do good deeds. It's supporting them. They're put on the list because they have a history of doing good deeds. So what Paul essentially is saying here is take care of the widows who are too old to remarry, and to take care of the widows who have been faithful, faithful to their husbands, faithful to their kids, faithful to God, and faithful to the church. This might sound a little narrow, like do the widows have to be perfect to be taken care of? And it seems a little bit odd here. Is this only for Christians? Why isn't the church supporting widows in the community who aren't believers? Well, this passage is for a very specific problem in a very specific church community. Paul is addressing the treatment of widows within this community. In other passages and in other letters, he addresses how to care for unbelievers and how to care for those outside the community. Paul cares about these people too, but in this passage right here in 1 Timothy, he's instructing Timothy in how to care for those who are within the community. And it's important that those in the community are faithful to their families. They're faithful to God, faithful to the church. Because if they're not, then they're just going to be causing problems in the church. And that's actually what the next group of widows that we're going to be looking at in the next section are doing. They're causing problems in the church. For now, these are the ones that Timothy and the church are to support with food, with finances, with fellowship. These are widows who are alone, over 60, and those who have demonstrated a faithful life. Well, now let's look at the widows who are not in need according to Paul. Verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. A widow who is not in need is a widow with children or grandchildren who can take care of them. It's the family's job first to take care of their mother or their grandmother. And this is how God commanded his people to live in the Old Testament. If you were to neglect widows in your own family, that's a really grave sin. And Paul makes this clear in verse 8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ouch! These are pretty harsh words. Paul is older, so he can get away with this type of rebuke. Well, it's likely that this is what was happening in the church in Ephesus. And Paul is telling Timothy he needs to make it clear to these families it's their prime responsibility to take care of their widowed relatives and to not leave it for the church to take care of them. It's their job to do it. Paul goes on to give a second marker for widows that are not in need. We see in verse 6, but the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Now, these are widows who are not faithful. They live selfishly and they don't have concern for others or for God. These widows should not be taken care of in the same way that the other widows are taken care of. Now, I don't think that Paul is advocating for leaving these women on the street. I think that he's saying something else, which I'm going to get into when we look at this next group of widows in verse 11. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Now, this verse is confusing for scholars today. There isn't actually one consensus on what Paul is talking about here. But I've looked at all the different opinions, and I'm going to give the one that I think stands out the most to me, makes the most sense. I think what Paul is saying here is, if a younger woman loses her husband, you shouldn't classify her as a widow right away, because it's likely that she's going to want to remarry. And in fact, it would be better for her if she did remarry. I think what was happening in Ephesus was these young women would lose their husbands, and then they'd make a pledge to stay single, but then they would break that pledge later, and they would go against their vow to God. And as a result, it would impact their relationship with Jesus and cause them to stumble in their faith. Well, if this wasn't bad enough, young widows also tended to cause problems in the church. Verse 13. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. Now remember, women at this time were managers of their household. But if there's nothing to manage, they end up idle, they end up bored. So they go from house to house, and they start causing problems, gossiping, talking bad about other people, stirring up division. These people in the other households are trying to be faithful wives, they're trying to be faithful mothers, but when the younger widows would go in, they would end up leading them astray, saying things that weren't appropriate, saying things that were heretical and teachings that were not true. So this is why Paul is saying in verse 14, I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. Now Paul wants all widows to be supported, whether they be old widows or young widows. But the support is different for whichever group you're in. He is encouraging Timothy to give the proper support to each type of widow. Looking back at those earlier widows, if a widow is all alone, if she's too old to remarry, if she's a faithful person, then the church is supposed to support her with food, with money, with fellowship, with dignity. But if a widow does not meet those requirements, then Timothy and the church needs to support her in a way that needs to be supported. If she has kids or grandkids, you need to rebuke those relatives if they're not supporting the widow in their family. If the widow is selfish and only living for pleasure, well, money isn't going to help her. It's only going to make her situation worse. She needs a different kind of care. In the Bible, we don't have the term enabling. It's a recent term from psychology. But it's exactly what Paul is worried about here. Let's go back and look at that verse there. He's worried that because they're living for pleasure, it's causing problems for them and for others. If you've never heard of enabling before, enabling often starts with a desire to support and care for someone. But what ends up happening is the helper becomes an enabler. They promote and support the unhealthy behavior and patterns of the person in need. Enabling is directly or indirectly supporting someone else's unhealthy tendencies. Now, in our society, it's common for this to happen when you have a family member who has a drug addiction. You want to help them, so you give them money when they ask. You pay for their rent when they can't pay for it themselves. But you're actually not really helping them. You're just enabling them to continue their destructive behaviors without experiencing any of the consequences. The type of help that they need is not money or bailing them out when they get in trouble. The type of help they need is rehab and drug counseling. In the same way, these widows that live just for pleasure, they don't need financial and food support. What they need is instructions. What they need is correction. They need support to change their selfish lifestyle. They need to renew their relationship with Jesus. They need discipleship with Christians walking alongside them to help them become more faithful Christians. And looking at the younger widows who are going around from house to house gossiping and stirring up divisions, they don't need food or financial support. They need to be given a purpose. They need direction in their lives. So Paul instructs Timothy to care for them by encouraging them to remarry and to find stability in their life. The important point here is that Paul is not saying, oh, toss the selfish widows in the street. cut off the young widows from help. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying here is, provide them the support that is appropriate for them. In these cases, it's not food or money. What they need is spiritual guidance. What they need is counseling. And Paul concludes this section with these words. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. Okay, so how is this applicable for today? Helping widows is a very different thing in Canada in 2024. Many widows don't need the same financial support, food support that they needed back then. A lot of widows can take care of themselves now, especially with our social programs. So is this even applicable to us today? Well, I think that there are some principles in this passage that we need to consider in our churches that go just beyond widows. I think the main takeaway here is, who are the people in our church who are in need, and what type of support do they need? We need to consider those who are most vulnerable around us. Think of single moms and their kids. Think of people with physical or mental disabilities. Think of those who struggle with addiction. Think of those who are immigrants or refugees. The list goes on. Who are the people in our midst who are vulnerable? Open your eyes to see these people, to see the state that they are living in, and determine as a community, as a church, what support is appropriate to provide for them. You know, it might be as simple as food, as clothes, as fellowship. But for others, it might be deeper. It might need pointing them to professional counseling. For some, it might be challenging them to surrender their lives back to Jesus. For some, it might take some really tough love, saying some really hard things that they need to hear. Above all, everyone in our church needs prayer. Everyone needs to be thrown at the foot of Jesus night and day, praying for provision and healing and love. So I want to encourage you to care for those in your community. Pray for their spiritual health. Provide for their physical well-being if it's appropriate. And walk with them to professional care if the challenges are too great for you. And as it says in Hebrews 10, I want to leave us with this blessing, this encouragement. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may stir one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Go in God's blessing as you look for those in your community who have needs. May you pray for them and discern where God is calling you to help them. Amen.